I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politicians, just calling them as we see them. Next hour, as every Wednesday, we will get into hump day health, natural health news you can use. I didn't even look at my notes this morning to see what all we've got, but trust me, there will be some things that help. It's the beginning of a new year, so we'll have some things you can take a look at this year to maybe reclaim your health. Apparently, this is a trend, not totally in the way that I want, but I ran across a Wall Street Journal piece showing that more Americans are taking health into their own hands. I guess it took COVID and our hysterical medical class shooing you away from clinics and hospitals because of this mortal danger to the 0.001% of us out there. So I guess I'll take it if people are taking more of an interest in their own health, realizing they don't need to run to a doctor every time they get a sniffle and they can actually prevent the sniffles themselves. Maybe this is the beginning of a good trend. We'll see. Quotes of the day today. This is an older one, but it was in a thread I saw, and I think it bears repeating. This is from Thomas Massie. He's the libertarian Republican congressman from Kentucky. He said, anyone who believes a U.S. president can unilaterally impose a medical treatment on all Americans as a condition of employment is constitutionally illiterate and morally bankrupt. And there was a funny, in this thread of tweets, a Jedediah Bila tweeted that, amazing it took this long for people in the back to realize that a cloth mask from Etsy might not be armor against COVID. It seems like even the mask stuff is changing. There was a headline yesterday. I'm not sure if I pulled it or not in my stacks here, but said the CDC is considering revising their mask guidance to a different kind of mask. How does that make you feel if you've been walking around with a cloth mask for the last 2 years? That nasty bacteria trap mask that you've been wearing, the CDC is going to come after you've been trapped in that thing for 2 years and go, those are no good. I've played the clips from the CNN correspondent, from the former head of the FDA saying, yeah, the cloth masks are no good for an aerosolized virus. I've noticed a lot more people wearing the medical, kind of the surgical mask lately. And I think maybe the word's getting out after 2 years, you know, because science and all. After 2 years, the word is finally out and has reached more people that the cloth masks are ridiculous. You look silly, and you're doing absolutely nothing. COVID doesn't care about your virtue signaling. So if you think you're doing something for your health, you need to ditch the cloth mask. And so now people are moving to the surgical mask I've noticed in the grocery store. So I guess this is a positive development. Now here, if you're wearing the surgical mask, make sure you do that right. Now, my understanding is, and I've reported on this stuff and read about it, I believe you need to change that every 2 hours. So when you put the surgical mask on, if you're trying to avoid the Omicron or any COVID or anything like that, you need to make sure it's attached to your nose, always above your nose. Never touch the mask, though. Remember that. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody with a mask? Well, we all have by now. And watch them constantly fiddling with this mask. That's a no-no. But of course, it doesn't matter. They don't work anyway. But if you're going up to the surgical mask, I believe it's every 2 hours. So you're going to need to wear probably five or six of those things a day. Just letting you know. Good to see that people are ditching the cloth masks, which did absolutely nothing, moving to something slightly more effective, although still not effective. But every 2 hours. I know I've had to wear a mask for some business purposes, to go on some calls to places. I've have the same surgical mask. I may be on my second or third. Sometimes I'll pull it out of my car on the rare occasion where I am forced to wear one going in somewhere for business. And of course, one of the ear loops is broken, and I don't even really care. I just flop one side over the side of my ear. I think it's kind of gangsta. I think I look like I'm, I don't care. I'm letting it fly. But anyway, what a positive development that is. Just remember, surgical masks, change them out every 2 hours. Got a caller in line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, I got one better for you. How about when somebody's wearing a mask and they pull it down to sneeze? So I was at the doctor's office for my son's checkup, and the nurse behind the screen has a mask on, but she, I got to sneeze, and she pulls it down and sneezes out of the mask and then pulls it down. I'm like, isn't that the whole birth point?
and that is our medical establishment. That is the people really in the know, the ones out there fighting this contagion.
It's hilarious. Well, I do have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
So I had some unfortunate news the other day. Somebody close to me passed.
Oh, but, sorry.
But they were saying that they couldn't take her to the emergency room because all the hospitals were full. And so they kept her alive on oxygen for 30 minutes, but couldn't take her to a hospital.
Is that local here in the Jackson area?
Yeah, local.
Well, I've seen no headlines to that. I find that amazing. Now, we do know that a lot of people with colds and sniffles, and some people who had no symptoms at all but tested positive in this ridiculous push to test everybody trying to find this disease. There's been news, I don't know if it's taken place in Jackson, that people were clogging emergency rooms just from a positive test. No symptoms whatsoever. So, you know, I don't know if that played in, but I have not heard that. That's really... I don't know.
Bizarre, right?
I would think the family might want to do some investigations there and find out if a lawsuit's appropriate for that. That's a really tragic story.
Yeah, it was like the EMTs came to the house, and they were like, well, we are under orders to not to bring anybody into the emergency room due to COVID. And I'm like,
oh, my gosh. You know, this is I ran across a story this morning. I think actually Kim Wade had shared it. They were Ronald McDonald House is kicking kids out of Ronald McDonald House, kids with leukemia who could die from this really horrible disease, a deadly disease that they're kicking them out of Ronald McDonald House if they're not vaccinated. So they have this, they have a chance, you know, they've got a 0.001% chance of dying from coronavirus, but they've got a pretty darn good chance. I would imagine it's, you know, maybe 90% in unchecked leukemia, and these medical establishments are kicking them out. This was in Canada, the video came from, but this is the kind of insanity the medical profession has taken us through.
Yeah, I was another one of my friends who is just a complete COVID, you know, hysterical person. He was just, oh yeah, you have a 96% chance of surviving. I was like, actually, it's like 99.
Yeah, it's like 99.9. And, you know, it was really interesting. You know, a lot of people, they did polls and found that people in the hysterical class think that if you get COVID, your chance of going to the hospital is like 50 or 60% when it's actually 1 or 2%, you know, if you contract it. So everybody's perception of this thing is so wildly out of whack.
Yeah, and he was just like, where'd you get your... I was like, it's on the CDC website.
Yeah.
And he was like, and actually, I'm 36, so it was just like, I was like, went on the website and clicked just my normal stuff, and it was like, you have a 0.45% chance of dying. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And that, like, you have all these things that you can click, and I clicked all of them in my age range, like cancer, diabetes, just high blood pressure, and it was like, oh, yeah, you got a 10% chance of dying from COVID. I'm like, so I can have all these Yeah. Like horrible things wrong with me and still not have a chance to die from COVID.
Right. A completely wrecked immune system and still your chances are well above, you know, 50-50. I mean, the perception of this thing is crazy, and I just can't believe that our doctors and the bureaucrats in charge of this have never put this into full perspective, but they just continue to just promote the fear. It's really weird to watch.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Hopefully it gets better soon.
We'll see. We'll see. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye. I don't know. I think it feels like this particular strain being very contagious, meaning a lot of people are going to experience COVID now. I really actually I'm kind of fully expecting to get it. Even though I keep my vitamin D levels high and I do what I can for my immune system, I feel like, well, maybe I'll get this one. But I think that so many people are going to get this one, and it's going to be such a nothing burger that this is really going to be the eye opener. I have, in the last couple of days, become familiar of a situation with a young couple. The girl is triple vaccinated. The boy is unvaccinated. They have both contracted COVID right now. The girl who's vaccinated is doing markedly worse. The boy who is unvaccinated has got very, very mild cold-like symptoms, a little, you know, that kind of, I just don't feel great type thing. That's basically it. The girl who's triple vaxxed is really struggling through this, more akin to a really bad flu. And I really think it's that kind of thing touches more and more people directly. Maybe the headlines and the breathless reporting from the mainstream media and all of our hospital administrators pleading with people to run for their lives is going to fall on more and more deaf ears as more people realize, hey, I'm living with this. You know, the population of people who get this Omicron is going to be so high that more and more people are going to awaken to it. And I really think when it comes to the boosters, they may start seeing some real pushback on these things. Fingers crossed. We'll see. Be right back. Remind everybody about a couple of events coming up there. We really have a lot of events, and you should view some of these things as social gatherings. I can't tell you the number of great people that I've met over the last 6 months to a year in the resistance against everything from critical race theory to masks to mandates across the board. Americans for Prosperity, a good friend of this show, has got a couple things going on. First thing is tomorrow night at the Bulldog, right there off Ridgewood Road, Northeast Jackson, close to County Line Road. They'll be having their Pints and Policy discussion where they're just going to talk about things coming up in the state legislature. This is come in, you can grab a beer, have a bite to eat, order some dinner. This is AFP pays for it. So come by and meet some of the other people that are concerned with freedom here in Mississippi. There's a lot of us. More of us need to actually show our faces out in public so that, you know, it makes us all feel better when we know there's bigger groups of us that are engaged on these things. So that's Americans for Prosperity. We'll have Pints and Policy Thursday night, 6 o'clock at the Bulldog there off Ridgewood Road in Northeast Jackson. And then they're having their Capitol Day on the 27th. You'll hear ads running for that for details on that. And this is about how to talk to your legislator. Yesterday's show was full of interviews. I really enjoyed doing that. I spoke with Dana Criswell, who's in the House Freedom Caucus here in Mississippi, along with our old buddy Stephen Utroska came in with him, and then Steve Merritt with Southern Sky Brands, who's involved in the medical marijuana business here in Mississippi. And, you know, I left that meeting off air talking to Dana and Steve, and you know there is concern that they will not get a medical marijuana program out of this legislature. So I'll be attending Capitol Day with Americans for Prosperity on that issue. I will be looking to talk to legislators and making sure that they get that done. It needs to get done. You may have a totally different issue, or you may just want to show up and let the legislature know that the citizens are paying attention now. We are, you know, people on the right, not good at organizing, not good at holding people accountable, real good at voting. I mean, you got a supermajority of Republicans here in the state of Mississippi from the governor on down. A lot of people listening to me, you got Republican mayors. Not a lot of accountability, though. I show up to the polls every 4 years and push that button real hard, and then I complain for 4 years about what they actually do. But we've got things like getting the state income tax off of our back. That's a big issue, but American Prosperity is fighting these fights. We need to go out and support them, so make plans to attend Capitol Day. Again, they're going to buy you lunch at the old Capitol Inn. It starts at 11:30 on the 27th. It's just a few hours. You'll go from the Capitol Inn. They're going to load everybody up, I believe, on buses from Capitol Inn and take you down to the Capitol just to kind of walk the halls, see how it works, introduce you to legislators if you so choose, or if you want to stand in the background and just be noticed. Just let them know that Americans for Prosperity has got support and our legislature needs to move on economic freedom issues. This is important. It's worth three and a half hours of your time 1 day a year to attend something like this. The Pints of Policy, that's a bonus. You get a little bit of a dinner and hear what AFP is up to. You can check out their website, Americans for Prosperity Mississippi, on Facebook, and you can get details for everything there. If you're not on Facebook for any reason, I totally understand. I'm kind of kicking and screaming on Facebook. If you send me a friend request, I'll accept it, but you're not going to hear much from me because I don't think I've posted on Facebook in maybe 10 times in my life. But anyway, if you're not on Facebook, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll send you details of these particular meetings if you're driving and can't remember when things are. Speaking of economic freedom, here's my stack of headlines yesterday. Families fall deeper in debt amid rising prices. And the news reported earlier, for the highest inflation in 49 years, used car and truck prices up 37 or 39% over the past year. 37% over 1 year increase in used vehicle prices. That's insane. That's bordering on hyperinflation. Other headlines here, Treasury warns of delayed tax refunds. They're not going to delay in collecting. You know, they do that every 2 weeks from your paycheck, don't they? Oh, they take that money real quick, toot sweet. When it comes to giving you your own money back, please, parents, teach your children to adjust their withholding high. Tell them not to rely on that tax refund every year. Quit giving the government interest-free loans. You shouldn't be getting huge tax refunds anyway. You should be adjusting your withholding if you are a slave to the system anyway. But the Treasury is warning you, hey, we're not going to be getting that money out to you anytime soon. I'm sure there's all kinds of reasons for that. They're just so overworked, those poor people at the IRS. But J.P. Morgan Diamond sees best economic growth in decades. Now, these are headlines. I just clip these headlines. Sometimes I don't even go into the stories, and I didn't go into this one. I'm just going to assume that Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, sees the best economic growth in decades for himself, for the bankers, for the elites, the people who don't care because they don't buy used cars and trucks. Are you kidding me? What do they care if the price of a car goes up when you are at that nosebleed level of income? The Federal Reserve's Powell. Yeah, I'm going to go there again. People need to understand this Federal Reserve. It is the Death Star. The vast majority of problems that you, as conservative people, or if you're a liberal, I don't care. The liberals talk about the wealth inequality, the wealth gap that we have in this country. Conservatives should be concerned about that too. You cannot maintain a society when you suddenly are run by oligarchs. Well, not so suddenly. But just about every problem that you point to, I can tell you how it ties back to the federal government and the Fed. The Fed is the one that funds it all. Fed Powell, inflation poses major threat to the job market. Says economy no longer needs aggressive stimulus. We've been doing aggressive stimulus since 2008. And then really on steroids since 2020, really 2019, when the overnight repo market started to fall apart, sending a warning sign. It was a big flashing red sign on the dashboard of the American economy. In the dark of night, the Fed was pumping trillions of dollars into the overnight repo market. Luckily, they didn't really get called to the carpet of that because suddenly we were off to the races on COVID, and they had an excuse to start bailing out airlines and banks and Small businesses, they just, you know, they got into the wholesale bailout market because of the COVIDs, of course. I suspect that was one of the motivations for what we've gone through. The economy was sputtering, was in verge of some serious problems. And so they found a way, found an excuse to start printing up trillions of dollars and bailing people out. I'm going to play this a little bit about Jerome Powell had to be reconfirmed because, you know, there's so much difference between the Trump administration and the Biden administration. Did you catch the sarcasm in my voice there? Yeah, so Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, one of the most powerful positions on planet Earth. Nobody knows the name. Nobody knows who you go down the street, ask him, you know, do you know who Jerome Powell is? Yeah, doesn't he play for the Steelers? That's what you'll hear. Those are the kinds of questions. But he's one of the most powerful men on planet Earth and has more direct impact on your future and the future of your children than just about anybody. A hell of a lot more than Nancy Pelosi or AOC. Jerome Powell is being reconfirmed. Joe Biden really likes that Trump head of the Fed, the guy that Trump named to head the Fed. So he's going through confirmation hearings, and he said something when he was going through that I'm just going to call out and just make a prediction.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has pledged to do what's necessary to contain an inflation surge and prolong the expansion. But he steered clear of giving fresh details on the path of U.S. monetary policy. Powell's remarks to his Senate confirmation hearing were more guarded than some of his colleagues who have openly called for the Fed to start raising rates in March.
If we see inflation persisting at high levels longer than expected, then we will, you know, then we'll, if we have to raise interest rates more over time, we will. We will use our tools to get inflation back.
Yeah, that's a lie. I believe that he knows it's a lie. They cannot raise interest rates. When your government is addicted to debt, and when a larger and larger portion of the money that you steal from the private economy through taxation, through regulations, through fees and fines and privilege taxes, the more of your money that you bring in that is paid out in interest on the debt that these mental midgets in Washington, D.C. have accumulated over the past few decades, we can't afford for interest rates to go up. Businesses that are addicted to basically zero interest rate money cannot operate now in a normal interest rate environment. These businesses will become insolvent very quickly because they will not be able to manage their debt loads. The housing market, should they raise interest rates back to normal 5, 6%, the housing market would absolutely implode. Jerome Powell knows all of this. They have entered what Peter Schiff rightly calls the economic roach motel. You can go in, but you can never leave. The only way interest rates are going to go up is when the Fed loses control, and we are in a situation where people do not want to buy our bonds because they recognize the United States is completely fiscally insolvent. So the Fed will probably this year announce some small little rate hikes, maybe a quarter of a percent. Maybe they get really bold and do a half percent, but they'll do exactly what they did in 2018 and they will reverse course. Do you remember when Donald Trump freaked out because the Federal Reserve allowed interest rates, the Fed rate, to go up to, I think it might have gotten to 2.25, maybe 2.5, 2%. In a healthy economy, you can handle interest rates at 5, 6, 8%. We've gone through it before and still had expansion. But now we've become so addicted to debt and money printing, we can no longer allow that to happen. And when they got up to 2.25, 2.5, Donald Trump was out there screaming at the top of his lungs, take those rates down. He kept saying, it's not fair. You left interest rates at zero during Barack Obama's term. Now you're raising them on mine. You're risking the economy, and the stock market started to crater. And what did they do? They reversed course immediately and took us right back down to zero. They will never be able to voluntarily raise interest rates without an absolute catastrophe for the U.S. economy. Now, here's the thing. We need to have that catastrophe. We need to let interest rates go where, in a free market without a Fed, interest rates would be whatever people are willing to pay, right? Whatever somebody's willing to lend us money at the rate, that should be the rate, be a free market thing. But if the Fed were to allow this 5 or 6% and it would crater the housing market, it would crater the commercial real estate market, it would crater the S&P 500, crater the Dow Jones, it would crater everything. And we all deserve that pain. and we should take it now before we leave it for our children yet again. We should have had this pain back in 2008, 2009. We allowed the excesses to build up that led to the financial crisis, and we tried to paper it over it, and we've just made things worse. The Fed will never voluntarily wring out the excesses in this economy. They'll raise a little bit, and then they will retreat at the first sign of problems in the stock market. Bottom line, they will retreat and cut interest rates again at the first sign of pain at the elite level, at the asset price level, the elites that own businesses, and they own real estate, and they own real things because they've gobbled these things up. You think that BlackRock, who's been going out, and I guess Blackstone, that's been going out and buying up all of this residential real estate over the past few years, using 0% interest to go out and speculate on homes and buying huge tracts of residential real estate, you think that Blackstone, BlackRock, is going to allow their portfolio to just crater? No, absolutely not. They will have their little red phone. They'll call the Federal Reserve and say, hey, knock it off. Take us back down to zero. This will never happen. We are setting ourselves up. At some point, the Fed will lose control, though, and it is going to be a catastrophe that all of us will remember for the rest of our lives. I would rather we have it tomorrow than leave it for our children in 10 years. What's your frequency, can it this y'all been so drained? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. Next hour, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. You know, almost weekly now, I get reports of somebody who has done something for their health, sometimes spurred by this show, sometimes not even because of anything I covered here, but because people started to get their mind right, start taking care of themselves, and see dramatic health benefits. And man, that's the best part of this show. So stick around for that. Let's see. I wanted to play this one clip. I can't pass this by. I don't think I covered it. It's a few days old. I always hate being late to the party, but you know, there's so much to cover. I can't get on top of everything every single day. 2 hours seems like a long time, but it is not when you're sitting in this chair. This was, you know, they are changing this narrative around COVID. We've talked about that a lot, that they're starting to say other things. And the best guess I've got is that they've finally decided that, look, this looks really bad that the Biden administration has got more deaths on its watch, according to their own numbers, than Trump did. So we need to start saying, well, it's not the Fed's job. You know, this is Biden came out and said this. And they've been talking about other things. Michelle Walensky, the lying Walensky, came out and said this. And I mean, these are the things we've been talking about now for 22 months. Well, 20 months. First 2 months were a little sketch. We didn't know what was going on. But the admissions that are coming out now should have these people having their heads shaved and bathed in tar and feathers for what they've put us through for the last couple of years. Here's just yet another one of these new revelations to them that they're finally letting the American people know.
The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with.
75%. They have been quarantining and harassing. Right now, they are dogging healthy people constantly. Don't go to a concert. Don't. You got to get the shots. You got to do this. You got to. 75% had four comorbidities. So I would imagine what? Out of the other 25%, people had three or two. Yet the approach has been to harass, quarantine, contact trace, and try to generally scare the healthy people out there. Unbelievable stuff. Yesterday, or was it yesterday or day before, Rand Paul went hard after Anthony Fauci. I'm going to play just a small snippet of this.
Dr. Fauci, the idea that a government official like yourself would claim unilaterally to represent science, that any criticism of you would be considered a criticism of science itself, is quite dangerous. Central planning, whether it be of the economy or of science, is risky because of the fallibility of the planner.
Amen.
It would not be so catastrophic if the planner were simply one physician in Peoria, then the mistakes would only affect that physician's patients, the people who chose that physician. But when the planner is a government official, like yourself, who rules by mandate, the errors are compounded and become much more harmful. A planner who believes he is the science leads to an arrogance that justifies, in his mind, using government resources to smear and to destroy the reputations of other scientists who disagree with him.
Now, he goes on and on. I'm not going to play a whole lot of this. And there was some back and forth, and Anthony Fauci accused him of, you know, just the Anthony Fauci, the mini Mengele is truly a... He is the most prolific serial killer in the history of maybe mankind by the time this thing's all said and done. But anyway, a couple of things I wanted to bring up about this. Do you want to know why it's the libertarian politician going after Fauci as hard as he is? And the reason, I believe, is because libertarians like myself, we can't stand the bureaucratic class. We don't like bureaucrats. We really hate bureaucrats that exercise power over people. See, Republicans, and of course Democrats as well, but my distinction here on this show is that I'm a much more libertarian guy than anybody else in central Mississippi. I identify as a small L libertarian. I want these people out of my life. I want them to be stripped of the power. I do not believe in the power of going to the polls. See, Republicans just want their bureaucrats in. Tate Reeves and our legislature here is fine with Thomas Dobbs because I guess they check off on what he's doing. Not all of them for sure, but see, libertarians can't stand a class of bureaucrats that exercise power. That's the difference between libertarians and parties. Your establishment, Republican establishment, Democrats, they're fine as long as they get their bureaucrats in. They only criticize the other guy's bureaucrats. You know, Republicans want their Eli Lilly guy in at Health and Human Services like Trump had during his term, where the Democrats might want to give Health and Human Services to Merck or Pfizer. Republicans want Raytheon running the Pentagon like Mark Esper, who served in the Trump administration. Democrats might be more partial to having Boeing run the Pentagon. You see the difference there? It's none. It's zero. Now, but the other point to make about this is that Jameson and I were talking about this yesterday. Rand Paul is doing good work in holding Anthony Fauci's feet to the fire, but that's not enough. This truly is some level of political theater unless Anthony Fauci is indicted and arrested for his lying to Congress. Now, I always find that a little funny. You and I can lie to each other. We can lie to the cops. We can lie to our spouse. You know, everybody, you know, you have the freedom and the liberty to lie to anybody. But you go up and lie to the biggest body of professional-grade liars, and somehow it's a crime. But if it's a crime that they'll use for the little people, Anthony Fauci should be indicted and prosecuted for lying to Congress. And then we'll move him on to The Hague for crimes against humanity. That should be the logical next step. Now, I find this laughable that this would even be considered. I don't believe it for a second. But until Rand Paul finds a way to actually cuff this guy, to indict him, to seat a grand jury or whatever the hell they do when someone supposedly lies to Congress, Anthony Fauci is a criminal, and he should be treated and prosecuted as a criminal. So we'll see if Rand Paul has the ability, the stones, to follow through on this. It's good to make him look bad in public because he certainly deserves that, but it is not near enough.
You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
I did not touch the other day much on the Bob Saget story. When you hear of a story, you know, where someone suddenly dies, unexpectedly dies, relatively young, I believe Bob Saget was 65, a lot of our minds jump to the same place, I know that. But I always know I could be completely wrong. I mean, 65-year-olds do die. We don't know what it is. I never know if Bob Saget had a drug problem. But they said they suspected no foul play and no drug issues. Well, they came out and finally said he had a stroke. The headline reads that cops suspect Bob Saget suffered, quote, a heart attack or stroke in Orlando hotel, but officials also probe revelation that he recently battled COVID. Cops are also investigating Saget's revelation during a podcast recording last week that he had recently battled COVID-19 and whether the virus may have caused blood clots or other side effects that played a part in his death on Sunday. Now, this is a snippet from the podcast that he did. I don't know if the cops have a tip line that I can call if they're really looking to get to the bottom of the Bob Saget death, but I think I've got a tip for them.
Believe me, it's not that exciting. I live with myself. It's not always a dream walk, you know? I went to the pharmacy the other day. I got a booster shot, and I should have gotten it in my arm, but I got it in my butt, so I'm a little pain. But they give you an option.
It's so sad that he just accepted this shot into his life. Now, maybe it wasn't the shot. I can't sit here and tell you that it was, but it's just maddening to me to see these stories where they're saying, oh, I mean, they will investigate anything but the shot. That snippet you just heard was 3 weeks ago, apparently, maybe four now. Video's been posted for a couple of days. So about 3 weeks ago, he gets the booster shot, and I read a public service announcement the other day that they have done studies. Where was this? I can't remember who the researchers were, but they have shown that your risk of heart attacks and strokes actually go up with each shot. So the fact you make it through the first one without any problems and the second one without any problems does not mean you're going to make it through the third without any problems. It was exponential. It was, you raised your risk by 8 times with the first shot, 16 times with the second shot, and it would be 32 times with the third shot. That each one of these shots is basically a little bit of Russian roulette. But the cops are investigating his COVID diagnosis, or him saying that he had battled COVID. No mention in the story of them actually taking a look at the injection he took with the known side effect of heart attack and stroke. Donald Trump, such a brave man. He was speaking to One American News Network. Trump again confirmed that he'd taken the booster and added, quote, I watched a couple of politicians be interviewed, and one of the questions was, did you get the booster? Because they had the vaccine, and they're answering like, in other words, the answer is yes, but they don't want to say it because they're gutless. You got to say it, whether you had it or not. Just say it. This is Donald Trump. The speculation is that he's taking a little dig at Ron DeSantis, who has not confirmed or denied that he has had the booster shot. Trump wants him to come out and say it loud and proud that he's had the booster. I know I'm supposed to ignore these stories, but I just won't. Because there's also headlines here. I mean, you want to talk about just something really sad and sick. Hillary 2024. A perfect storm for comeback. Trump to rally in Arizona. Here we go again. 2024, Trump versus Hillary. I got to tell you, if that's the best America has, I may be, I don't want to be held accountable to it like Alec Baldwin or Barbara Streisand. Everybody says, look, if somebody wins, that's one of those elections where if either one of them wins, I think I'm going to have to leave the country because I won't be able to take the hate if Trump wins, and I'm sure as hell not living under a Hillary Clinton regime, which is what it would be. I wanted to play a little clip of this. I think we need to never underestimate the effect of artists in resistance movements. We got a lot of people out there. I've called this hypocrisy out a lot. People say, shut up and sing when the singer goes on and does an interview and says something you don't like. But if they say something that you like, they're a champion of your side. It's no longer shut up and sing or shut up and dribble. We don't pay you for your opinions. We pay you to play basketball. That's what people would say to LeBron James because he says stupid things. But when Kyrie Irving comes out and takes a position on the vaccine that we all like, he's a hero to us. You see, there's hypocrisy there. These are people. They can say whatever they want to. I don't tell anybody to shut up and do something else. I've got 2 hours on the radio every day. Who am I to tell anybody else to shut up? But we do need to understand the power of artists. And there's this great song out. This guy's name is Brevner. And I'm going to play a little bit of this to end this hour because it's a great piece. And this may be one of those things that kind of wakes people up. And I think it's kind of a pretty song.
I can't help but look around and feel like things are getting out of hand. We We've been told to trust the science, but the science just doesn't make sense. They say it isn't mandatory, but they also say your jab or your drop. But if it doesn't stop the spread, it makes it feel like this is just a facade. What about the healthcare workers? What about the frontline nurses? How quickly we forget that they were working 18 hours a day. What about informed consent? What about due diligence? It seems a country that I used to call home is surely slipping away. I can't help but look around and feel like minds are slowly starting to change. Cause even if you're triple vaccinated, know that segregation isn't the way. Freedom is a choice and it's available to all if we choose. But first things first, you gotta turn off the news. Yo, what about that?
And the name of that song is More of Us. And boy, isn't that a good point. Anyway, thought it was a pretty song, and it's good to have some musical talent, social influence on the resistance. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we focus in on one thing, and that's your health. And when I say your health, you own your health. You're in charge of your health. You're responsible for your health, and if you're a parent, you're responsible for the health of your children. Your doctor's not responsible for your health. Anthony Fauci's not responsible for your health. Nobody is except you. And it's time that people start taking that back into their hands. We got a new year, a new you. This is your opportunity to do that, so we focus in on topics to convince you. I'm going to do kind of a two-parter today, as I do a lot of time. I'm going to show you why you shouldn't be putting your hands, your health, into the hands of the medical establishment. Number one, they are completely discredited at this point. Not every doctor, not every nurse, not every surgeon. There are a lot of good people out there in the field of medicine, but as far as the path they try to take us down, it's just no bueno. And then we're going to get into some things that can actually help you. Start every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a virologist, not a surgeon, not a therapist, not a nurse, not a nothing. I have no certifications, just a endless curiosity and fascination with how the human body works and the information that you can find as a layperson with no training to take steps to reclaim your health and escape the medical system. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to advise you on anything, your health. All of us are individuals. There's all kinds of different moving parts. Makes it a little more complicated, but it's worth the effort. Quotes of the day today. This was just an interesting one. This is Leonardo da Vinci. So what I'm talking about and being, maybe using doctors as a little bit more of a last resort, not running to them every time you got a sniffle. This is Leonardo da Vinci. I don't have what year this was from, but this is a quote from him. He said, "Strive to preserve your health, and in this you will better succeed in proportion as you keep clear of the physicians, for their drugs are a kind of alchemy concerning which there are no fewer books than there are medicines." Strive to preserve your health. This is Leonardo da Vinci. "And in this, you will better succeed in proportion as you keep clear of the physicians." And then he goes on to complain about all their drugs. I told you, that's just nothing new under the sun. Pretty fascinating. And then this is a quote from a Dr. Mark Sirus, S-I-R-C-U-S. He says, "Since the early days of modern medicine and the rise of the pharmaceutical industry, the mental conditioning, propaganda, and hypnosis that bends the public minds towards their products has been relentless. Pharmaceutical medicine is a form of treatment that is not interested in promoting health. There is no money in that or curing disease, but in promoting disease. As a result," again, this is Dr. Mark Sirus, "as a result, modern medicine has been built on quicksand. When I say quicksand, we need to look at how doctors and health officials wrongly see disease and the human condition." Exactly right. We do not have a healthcare system in this country. We have a disease management system in this country. Saw a story yesterday. It was on the Wall Street Journal. This is a clickbait for me for sure. It said, new trend in healthcare. Do it yourself. With doctors, subheadline was, with doctors under strain in the pandemic, patients are taking more of their healthcare into their own hands. This was on the Wall Street Journal, so I knew I probably wasn't going to get exactly what I was looking for, but I'll read a little bit of the story. 2 years into a pandemic that has strained health systems and made booking doctor's appointments next to impossible for some, patients are providing more of their own care at home. Elizabeth Diddy said she struggled to get a doctor to pay attention when she felt lethargic and unable to lose weight. So a year ago, she ordered do-it-yourself kits for medical tests to measure hormone and cholesterol levels and detect food sensitivities. Based on the results, the 39-year-old screenwriter in Kansas City, Missouri, adjusted her diet, adding supplements and eliminating eggs. She said she feels better and has lost weight. Quote, I took matters into my own hands, unquote, she says. Now, she eliminated eggs. As I said, all of us are individuals. I think eggs are like vitamins. I love eggs. There's a tremendous amount of benefits for eggs, but for some people, eggs might be a problem. Miss Diddy is part of a do-it-yourself healthcare movement that has accelerated during the pandemic, doctors and industry analysts say. Frustrated with an overburdened health system, more consumers are turning to gadgets, home kits, apps, and monitors for tasks and tests previously handled by trained medical workers. They are monitoring their own blood pressure, conducting EKGs, tracking blood sugar and cholesterol levels, and pricking their own fingers for blood tests normally done at the doctor's. Now, what this story ended up being was almost like the self-checkout line at the grocery store. It's probably still a positive. But they're essentially doing a lot of their own testing. But then when they have a problem, they're calling their doctor and saying, hey, my blood pressure is high. Can you prescribe me something? Or, hey, my EKG is showing this. Can you prescribe me something? They're doing the work, but then returning to right back into the medical establishment to get treated for the disease and not actually doing that further bit of research while you're at home and can't get a doctor's appointment of just figuring out, I wonder why my blood pressure is so high. What could be causing it? And there's a wealth of information online that you can do. What supplements, what natural things can I do to reduce my high blood pressure? There are certainly things to do. That's the next step. But maybe breaking free of that initial appointment for every single issue that comes up, maybe breaking free of that will start getting people to pay a little bit more attention to their health, particularly in light of what the pharmaceutical companies are showing themselves to be to a lot of people now. It's not just the pharmaceutical companies. I read this the other day, but I want to make sure that people understand this because, as I said, this is a kind of a two-parter show. Each one of my shows is two-parters. It's to try to explain to you why you should not have faith in these institutions, that they are not your friends. They are not dedicated to your health. They're dedicated to making money off treating your diseases. That's why things don't get cured. That's why rates of these diseases go up. I know I'm a broken record on this, but first you have to understand you're being abused. First thing we have to do is admit we've got a problem. There was a friend of the court brief filed in favor of vaccine mandates, forcing you to get an experimental injection. And all of these organizations I'm about to name all know it's experimental. They should all know of the side effects of these shots, and they should all know about natural immunity. They should all know that children are not susceptible to COVID. They should all know all of these things that would completely contradict any idea of a forcing of this shot. They all know that it doesn't stop you from contracting the virus. They all know it doesn't prevent you from spreading the virus. Yet they all signed on to a friend of the court brief to the Supreme Court in support of forcing Americans to inject themselves or to be injected. Here are the groups that are in favor of a mandate. And these are the people that almost everybody in the sound of my voice has spent most of your life turning to with your health issues. This friend of the court brief in support of forced inoculation. I guess that's a way to say it. I mean, if you want to keep your job, mandating these things. The American Medical Association, the American College of Physicians, American Academy of Family Physicians, American Academy of Pediatrics. You ought to ask your pediatrician if he's in favor of mandates. And if he says he is, run like hell. American College of Chest Physicians, American College of Correctional Physicians, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, American Geriatrics Society, American Medical Women's Association, American Psychiatric Association, American Society for Clinical Pathology, American Society of Echocardiography, Cartography, I don't know how you say that, American Society of Hematology, American Thoracic Society, Association of Academic Psychiatrists, and American Lung Association. All of these groups signed on to respectfully remove the stay that was put to block mandatory vaccinations. Now, I would imagine, I probably should have done this. Wouldn't have taken me long. I could probably go to the homepage of every single one of them and see that they've got pharmaceutical company sponsors. They're just doing the bidding of their masters. Pharmaceutical company owns, the pharmaceutical industry owns every single one of these organizations. And in turn, these are the organizations that are demanding fealty from your physician. And most physicians go along with that. Not all. Many of them are free thinkers, good people that want to heal people, and they understand the game. But those are, that's a pretty wide group of people that want to see forced shots take place. There's a great piece that I really don't have time to get into today. You can check it out. It's on the Defender, childrenshealthdefense.org. You can do Children's Health Defense. You can do an internet search for Children's Health Defense, Jake Tapper. And there is really a fascinating story that shows you really how the media is so bought and paid for by Big Pharma. I mean, I know we all know this now, but this is a glaring example. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has written a piece called The Day Jake Tapper Sold His Soul to Pharma. Jake Tapper, the CNN correspondent, CNN anchor, who has been attacking Robert F. Kennedy Jr. with just a lot of personal attacks. He doesn't ever really say where Robert F. Kennedy's lying, where his information is wrong. Robert F. Kennedy being one of the most heavily researched and documented. I mean, this guy, he's got this new book out, The Real Fauci. I have not read it yet. I know I need to. But I think he's got 5,000 footnotes in that book where he backs up what he says. But Jake Tapper has decided, because Jake Tapper is a whore to Big Pharma, to try to sideline and marginalize RFK Jr. And this article on the Children's Health Defense is all about a big piece where they discovered that the levels of mercury in childhood vaccines study was done and then presented to, you know, the medical establishment. Hey, you are giving our kids 100 times what the EPA allows in mercury through the shots. And apparently the CDC and the FDA gathered 52 pharmaceutical companies together, and they had a big secret meeting where they talked about how they were going to do this. And instead of saying, oh, my God, we've made a mistake, we need to alert the American people, essentially they covered it up. Jake Tapper, at the time, was actually a journalist, and he was going to report this. And at the time he was about to break the story, it was pulled by his editor. They were not allowed to report on this. Jake Tapper went along with it, and now he's a Big Pharma whore. The story is just really good. I think it's interesting. You know, these are kind of, you know, if you are fascinated by movies about Watergate or things like that, that's what this is. This is they were about to break a story and show a real horrific thing happening to the children in America, but the mainstream media silenced the story. They censored the story. They memory holed it. And people don't know it up to and including today. And if they did, I doubt they'd be rolling up their sleeves for this latest experimental shot. Last week, for the first show of the year, I had the people in from Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic in Ridgeland. Probably talk a little bit more about them later. But to start off the year, I really have been a little derelict. There are some easy hacks. If you're looking, if you want to try to make this the year you do it, and there's nothing magical about January 1st, you can start it on May 16th. Doesn't matter when you start. Small changes make big differences, and you will find this. This is the beautiful thing about when people start taking control of their health, start paying attention to their conditions and getting to the root cause of them, doing a little research and start addressing the root cause, you start to feel better almost immediately. It just depends on the condition. And this becomes self-reinforcing. People go, oh, my gosh, I've been suffering through this 20 years, and I just, you know, cut out this or cut out that or added this or added that, and, oh, my gosh, I hadn't felt this good in 20 years. And that usually kind of seals the deal, and people are off to the races and doing their own research. A couple of things I just jotted down. As I say, I'm a little derelict. I could probably put together a good comprehensive list, and I will, of some easy changes, because the thing is that, you know, people start the new year, I'm going to cut out all this and cut out all that. And I'm never, you know, and these things don't last. If you do things that deprive you, willpower is just, I mean, I am as guilty as anybody of caving at the grocery store, just deciding, well, this isn't the week, next week for sure. I mean, I'm like that too. So deprivation is usually a losing strategy if you're always miserable about something you can't have. So there are a couple of things that I think are always good hints. The easy changes that you can start making today, and I guarantee you they'll show benefits. One is, if I want a soda, and I typically drink, I've talked about this brand Zevia with a Z, Z-E-V-I-A. They've got them at Kroger, and they're Stevia drinks. I do not drink Diet Cokes or any of those things with aspartame or sucralose or any of those artificial sweeteners in there. Those things are causing health problems too. People, it's sad. People go to them thinking they're doing something good for them health, their health. They're getting rid of high fructose corn syrup, but they're doing all kinds of other bad things to themselves with the chemicals in these diet sodas. So I use Zevia. It's a stevia sweetened drink. But sometimes I want a soda. It's pretty rare, but I'll get one every now and then. But get one with cane sugar in it. A lot of times, the funny thing is, you got to get something that's foreign. I think the Mexicans are still on board with sugar used in their drinks. And so you can find in just about any grocery store sodas that are sweetened with cane sugar. It's not a vitamin, certainly not, you know, it's not something you should be drinking a ton of, but it's better than the high fructose corn syrup, and I certainly believe better than the artificial sweeteners. If you just need to have a soda, look for something with cane sugar, some real ingredients in it. Again, it's not a health drink because of that, but it certainly gets some of the bad things out. Organic. Download the Dirty Dozen from EWG. That's the Environmental Working Group. Download the app, the Dirty Dozen, and focus in on the fruits and vegetables that they tell you should be organic, because if you're not eating organic, you're getting a ton of herbicides and pesticides. And just at least on those 12 things, start to tilt towards organic. Start getting some of those chemicals out of your system. That is such an easy one, and I assure you, it is not as expensive as people are led to believe. Unless you were just eating a ton of this food, and besides the fact, you'll probably save on medications and doctor's visits, and in the meantime, feel better during the day. So really do a focus in on the most important organic foods. Even if your diet's not completely organic, there's some that are important. You can even do organic things instead of regular Cheetos and corn chips and stuff. Those things are just loaded up with all kinds of chemicals and gut-busting stuff. Look for organic snacks. And the reason I say these things is because these are just substitutions. You're still getting the same thing you've always wanted. You don't have to deny yourself every snack food. Just get it organic. Take some of this MSG and some of these other chemicals out of your snack foods. You still get to crunch. You still get a little cheesy snack. But you're not wrecking your health to do it. And again, it may cost you a dollar more for 3 days worth of snacks. I can't hide that from you. I'll be fully transparent. But when you stop and think about the things you spend money on, is it not worth a couple of bucks extra a week to start ridding your body of all these chemicals? And one of the other big things, everybody makes a commitment to exercise, and we'll talk more about this in upcoming shows, high-intensity interval training. Talked about it many times on this show. If you do not have an hour a day to get on the treadmill, that's probably a good thing. Take a look at high-intensity interval training. It's called HIIT. Now, if you have cardiovascular problems, you may not be able to undertake this, you know, straight out of the gate. I don't know. Consult whoever. But it shortens the time, and you can do just rapid bursts of exercise, whether it's sprinting or biking or, you know, running, whatever it is, for 30 seconds, and then you rest. Just get your heart rate go down a little bit for a minute, and then another 30-second blast of exercise. And doing that for 10 minutes is the equivalent, they say, particularly when it comes to your metabolism and the ability of your heart and your lungs to really power up. It's as good as doing that 45 minutes to an hour of cardio. And I think this long-form cardio that everybody's undergoing, or not everybody, but a lot of people are still stuck with, it's not helping you as much as you think it is. Long-form cardio is, your body just kind of adapts to it. You want faster weight loss, you want to really get your lungs pumping, get your heart going, really start to see some improvements, take a look at HIIT. It's called HIIT, but there's two I's in there, H-I-I-T. It also shortens your workouts, so you can do 10 minutes of that rather than 45 minutes on the treadmill, probably get better benefits, and save yourself a bunch of time. Resolution should also include resolving to be better for your kids' health. There were several articles I ran across this past week. This one is pandemic paralysis. Only 1 in 10 teens getting enough exercise during COVID. Just 9% of American teens are getting enough physical activity during the pandemic. Researchers from the United States and Canada say that number has fallen significantly from the already paltry 16% getting enough exercise prior to COVID-19. They recommend kids get about 60 minutes of physical activity per day, especially in the midst of the pandemic, which has increased the number of sedentary habits, both in children and adults. And this is, you know, something that's, I don't think it's any coincidence that our kids are sicker than they've ever been. We're raising the first, you know, worse health conditions in succeeding generations. And part of it is that parents do not put any emphasis with their kids on getting out and doing something. You know, I used to tell my kids during the summertime, when it got to be about 10 o'clock and I started seeing some dents in the couch that were going to be there for a while, I would tell the kids, I don't care what you do, you ain't going to do it inside here. You can sit on the front steps of the house if you want to, but you're going outside that door and I'm closing it behind you. I would even tell them, you can even go to your friend's house if you want to and sit there and play video games, because I knew once I got them out of the house, the chances were good they were going to run up and down the street. Parents need to start encouraging physical activity in their kids and stop some of these sedentary habits. I know they love them. I would have been a couch potato kid too. But that's what parenting is about, is doing things that are in the best interest of the child, not the easiest stuff. Another study on the back of that, regular exercise could be the key to children getting good grades in school. There is a correlation between a child's cardiorespiratory health and their academic success, particularly in language and math, according to a recent study. Such intellectual qualities, including memory and concentration, may be improved by cardio exercises. Scientists in Switzerland conducted a series of tests on students from several Geneva schools and found an indirect association between cardiovascular endurance and mental skills. Earlier work by Northwestern University Professor Charles Hillman suggests that children's heart and lung health and academic success are linked. Hillman, who's the corresponding author of this study, writes that previous research also indicated an association between cardiorespiratory wellness and enhanced executive skills. And it just goes on and on to talk about all of the benefits to your child's brain to getting good activity, too. So besides weight management and overall health, also mental health and grades in school. And lastly, on the exercise front, just to talk about how important it is, I just don't know why we won't make it a priority. I got to tell you, I've talked about it. I've had some back issues that kept me out of the gym some. It's driving me crazy trying to make sure I rehab properly and relax just a little bit before I go back in. But there's no better addiction than going into the gym. I don't need to develop an eating disorder, but, man, it just feels so much better. On the days that I pull in that parking lot, and sometimes I just look at the gym and go, man, do I really feel like doing it today? 99% of the time I get out of the car and I go on in. And by the time I get done, I'm talking to someone in the locker room going, man, I wasn't even going to come in here today. I'm so glad I did. I feel so much better the rest of the day. I also talked about, there was a story out. The headline was, exercise may protect your brain even if you have signs of dementia. Exercise is good for you. Breaking a sweat has been shown to improve nearly every organ in the body, fight nearly every disease doctors diagnose, and improve nearly every health condition that you might live with on a daily basis. It gets even better. A new study finds exercise boosts levels of protein known to strengthen communication between brain cells by synapses, which may be a key factor in keeping dementia at bay. People need to get moving. I'm not breaking any new ground there. But it is time, and make sure your kids are doing it along with you. Parent your children. Part of parenting is raising not only a decent human being, but also a healthy one. I'll be right back.
All
right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show on 1039 WYAB, and we're doing what we do every Wednesday, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. I got a big, easy hack, cheap hack for you coming up at the end of this show, so stick around for that. It's with our buddy Dr. Eric Berg. Before we do that, I want to, every year in January, I do a fast of some duration. I've done anywhere from 2 or 3 days up to, I think my biggest one has been 6 days, and it's a water fast. Now, this may not be for everybody. I'm not a doctor, not a scientist. I'm not telling you to do these things, but I believe it's a good chance for me to reset my system. We're going to play a little bit from Dr. Jason Fung. There's tons of information out there about fasting. You can do it anything from intermittent fasting. You can do a single day. You can do a couple of days. What my plan is, I'm not sure of my duration, and a lot of times, you know, life gets in the way. It depends on where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing. I do try to kind of plan this for a fairly light week. My plan is to do this starting next Monday. I'll probably eat up. The thing is, if you do any level of fasting, you have to make sure that you ease in and ease out. You are looking for a couple of really rough days if you eat a bunch of garbage and then just decide, I'm going to just fast for the next couple of days. So I will probably get my diet, good nutrient stuff, no garbage this weekend. And if I start on Monday, if I eat on Monday, I may do just anything, just plant-based, some fruits and vegetables on Monday, and then ease into it. And then I'll take, somewhere between 3 and 5 days where I'll do a water fast. And then as I come out, you'll have to do your own research on easing out of a fast. You cannot come out of a fast and run out to a steak restaurant and jump on a giant loaded baked potato and a steak. You will not feel well. You need to slowly wake up your digestive system again. But I believe there's some great benefits to fasting. I've done it every year for probably the last, 10 to 12 years. I haven't had a sick day in 15 years now. So I tend to kind of not mess with what seems to be working. Whether the fasting is a big part of that or not, I don't know. But I still kind of enjoy the mental challenge of it. And I kind of feel like I'm giving my body a chance to just kind of rest and repair for a few days. I'm going to play this clip about the metabolism. This is very science-y. If you listen to the show, sometimes you have to listen to a little bit of the science, go all nerd out with me on health stuff. But this is Dr. Jason Fung on fasting and exactly how it works. And I recommend him as a source. He's got all kinds of material online. Again, his name is Jason Fung, F-U-N-G. He is a medical doctor. He helps a lot of people with diabetes and insulin resistance, and fasting is one of the tools he uses.
Blocks lipolysis. So what that means, and we've known this again for 50 years, mm-hmm. Insulin stops you from burning fat. Why? Because insulin is telling your body to gain fat. So you don't want to burn fat and gain fat at the same time. So we say insulin inhibits lipolysis. So if insulin is high, but you're only taking 1,200 calories, you have no access to your fat stores, right? Because it blocks lipolysis. Insulin is high, you can't burn fat. So all you have coming in is 1,200 calories. All you can burn is 1,200 calories. Your metabolic rate must slow down in order for you to survive, because you don't want to die. Mm-hmm. What happens now if you allow your insulin to drop? Say you go on a 7-day fast, and so you have 0 calories coming in for 7 days, and I choose this not because I recommend it. It's fairly extreme in some cases, mm-hmm. but if you have insulin resistance, at least I know your insulin will fall. So as your insulin falls, then you're going to switch from burning food to burning fat. That's what's supposed to happen. So if your body now sees, okay, I'm burning body fat, there's like tons of this stuff.
Yeah.
Why do I need to slow down my metabolism? Mm. In fact, if you look at the physiology of fasting, it actually maintains the metabolic rate, because as insulin falls, you get a counter-regulatory hormone surge. And again, this is sort of basic physiology. Insulin falls, the body increases sympathetic tone, so the sympathetic nervous system, adrenaline and noradrenaline, growth hormone, and cortisol. We know that. That's pretty basic, because that's trying to get the glucose back out from the liver into the blood. And those hormones, the sympathetic nervous system, adrenaline, cortisol, growth hormone, are trying to push the glucose out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think adrenaline does? That's not slowing your metabolic rate.
Right.
It's pumping it up. And why does growth hormone go up? Well, growth hormone is there because you have a period of gluconeogenesis at around 24 hours. So if you look at the physiology of fasting, the glycogen stores, which are chains of glucose in your liver, that's the first sort of stuff you go to. When you burn through your glycogen, it lasts for 24 hours. At 24 to 36 hours, roughly, you're going to burn protein. Mm. And that's where everybody says, oh, you're burning muscle. No, you're burning protein. That's not necessarily muscle. There's a lot of excess connective tissue. There's a lot of excess fat that you should burn. If you look at those documentaries of people who lose weight, they have all this excess skin.
Yeah.
Well, that needs to be burned. And you want to burn that. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You want to get rid of that. Same thing with autophagy. You want to get rid of this protein.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep getting rid of protein and never putting it back in, that's not good either. So what does the body do? The body's not that stupid. What it does is it pumps up growth hormone like you can't believe. It goes up like 3 to 5-fold on a 5-day fast.
Wow.
And what it means is that when you eat again, you're going to rebuild that protein. But not the protein that you didn't need, that excess skin that you didn't need, the stuff that you do need. Mm. And same thing for autophagy, same thing for cancer cells, same thing for Alzheimer's, plaque, and so on. You actually have the ability to break down this protein that you don't want. And that's why a lot of these people, there's a lot of research going on into autophagy, caloric restriction in terms of longevity. I mean, there's the whole calorie notion, which is not really physiologic, but it's the same thing. You really want to burn off this excess protein that's not making you good, because if you don't ever let your body break down this protein, you can't actually build new protein, because it's like if you have a bathroom that you want to renovate,
mm-hmm.
the first thing you got to do is pull out that sort of avocado green tub that was sitting from the 1970s. If you don't pull out that tub, you can't put in a nice new clawfoot tub. You have to get rid of it first.
Yeah.
And that's the way the body works. If you look at turnover of bone, there's osteoclast and osteoblast. The first thing you do when you remodel bone is chew up the old bone. Then you lay down new bone. And that's healthier than keeping the old crappy bone there. Just like that old avocado green tub.
Yeah, so there you go. So there's a lot of benefits to fasting. Again, do your own research on this. I'll start it next week, so by the time you hear me next Wednesday, I'll be 2 or 3 days without food. People always look at you like you're crazy. You're not. What do you mean you're not? We have such a warped sense. If you stop and think about human beings throughout history, you know there were times where they went several days probably without eating. And they made it fine. This is probably a very natural part of our body. But again, if you're on certain medications, this may be an issue. There's all kinds of ways. This is your own personal thing. It's just something that I kind of like to kind of clean up the system. We could all use some more growth hormone, known to be anti-aging, to do these kinds of things. It's good for longevity. It's just, there's a whole raft of benefits to fasting. So we'll do it next week. Get your head right. If you want to try it, do it for just 24 hours. If you've never done one before, you'll see that you make it. I don't even really get hungry. All I do is I miss eating, but it's not because of hunger. It's really more almost emotional, psychological, that I like to crunch on some foods. By the time that I get done with a fast, I do get very excited about crunching on something. I will tell you that. Anyway, take a look at fasting. It may be something that can help you too, particularly, as Dr. Fung points out, if you have problems with your insulin levels. We'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the day. I'm going to give you a quick, it's a little bit of a long clip. I got to get to it real quick here. But a cheap little hack you can do. I ended the last segment by saying if you got insulin problems, fasting may be for you. I'm not recommending anybody who's diabetic rush out there without any consultation, without any research, and just do a 5-day fast. I don't know how that would affect you. Again, everything that I recommend is just a breadcrumb. You've got to do your own research and consult anybody that you trust in your life for your medical advice on any of these things. There are tremendous benefits to fasting, but we're all individuals with unique situations, and you've got to make those decisions and calculations for yourself. Real quick, want to remind you about Integrated Medical and Wellness Clinic. This is an integrated medical practice. We had them on last week. You can catch the podcast of last week where they talk about what they do, but particularly if you've got pain, knee pain, things like that, they give your body more of what it needs to heal yourself naturally. They take an inside-to-outside approach to your health, and this is what our medical establishment needs. They don't do that. They are constantly trying to address symptoms rather than root causes. So it's Integrated Medical and Wellness. They're new in Ridgeland, right out there by Costco. They're on Draperton Drive in Ridgeland. You can reach them at 601-843-6195, or their website is imawc.com. imawc.com. You'll see all the different services that they offer, and this may be a first step for many of you. They also offer testing for a lot of things, too. So, you know, you want to get your vitamin D levels tested, those kinds of things, because they want to find out exactly what's going on inside your body to figure out a course of treatment for you. So give them a call. Check out their website. Again, that is imawc.com. All right. Here's a quick, easy hack that you can do. I'm not going to have time to get through this whole thing. Anytime you hear anything on the show, you want to get a fuller picture of anything that I read or anything that I play, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you my show notes with links to everything I cover here. This is Dr. Eric Berg talking about lemon water. Does it get any easier or cheaper than that?
Let's talk about the real reason why you should be drinking lemon water every single day. The average person does not know the true benefits, okay, with an S, of drinking lemon water, because it's actually quite amazing. So let's cover all of the key points. Number one, by drinking lemon water on a regular basis, you have the potential to reduce a fatty liver. Now, this is the phytonutrients in the lemon water that have the ability to greatly improve something called hepatic steatosis. Now, what does hepatic mean? Liver. What does steatosis mean? That means the infiltration of fat into the liver. So hepatic steatosis means a fatty liver. Lemon water has the ability to dissolve the fat in the liver. There's other things as well, like purified bile salts, choline. A low-fat diet, as in ketogenic diet, can reduce up to 50% of the fat in your liver within 14 days. But if you add a little lemon to your water, you can actually speed things up. All right, number two, it can help reduce cholesterol. Not that cholesterol is a bad thing, but let's say your liver is sluggish and your gallbladder is sluggish and you're not producing enough bile, and that's kind of backing up in the system. Lemon water can help increase the flow of bile through the bile ducts and help remove some of the excess cholesterol that's kind of backing up in the system. All right, number three, weight loss. Now, lemon water does not directly help you lose weight. It can indirectly help you lose weight. Now, quite a few studies on animals have shown this, but I want to help you understand the mechanism. Certain phytonutrients in lemon water stimulate significantly lower blood sugars. They reduce insulin resistance. So they lower insulin, and that is the reason why someone can lose weight. In fact, if you really want to know how to lose weight, what I would do is not try to research how to lose weight. I would research on how to lower insulin, because anything that lowers insulin is going to help you lose weight. In fact, the fat cells cannot shrink. It's impossible for a fat cell to shrink without lowering insulin, despite your calories. All right, number four, lemon has an anti-aging effect. Now, yes, the studies were done in animals, but most studies do start in animals and then you progress to humans. But in the 5-week study, they lived in, on average, 3 weeks longer. Now you might be saying, well, that's not a long time, but that's only 5 weeks. Think about if you started drinking lemon water on a regular basis for the rest of your life. It could add up. And they also found that lemon water extended the life of the microbiome, your friendly bacteria, which is pretty interesting. All right, number five, anti-cancer effects. Now, I'm not telling you that lemon water is going to cure your cancer. I'm not saying that, but it's something you can add to help inhibit cancer. In test tube studies, it was found that certain phytonutrients in lemon water were able to kill malignant cancer of the tongue, of the lung, and the colon. All right, number six, and this is an important one, the reduction of kidney stones. Citrate in lemon juice binds with this thing called oxalate. Now, the most common type of kidney stone are oxalate stones, calcium oxalate stones. And so if you have citrate in your body, it can bind with the oxalates to prevent the stone from occurring. And so people that have a tendency to have kidney stones are usually low in citrates. And if you're prone to kidney stones, I would recommend increasing the amount of lemon juice to roughly about a half of a cup to a cup of lemon juice every single day. Now, number seven, it can potentially give you vitamin C, but only if it's from actual lemons that have not been heated like in your lemon juice that you would get in a bottle. So when you buy lemon juice at the store, it normally comes pasteurized. And the problem with vitamin C is that it's sensitive to heat. It gets degraded and destroyed with heat. So when you get bottled lemon juice, you're really getting next to zero vitamin C. But if you can get your vitamin C from an actual lemon, let's say you just take a lemon and you squeeze it into water, one lemon can provide up to half of your daily recommended vitamin C, or should I say like almost half. So it gives you about 31 milligrams when you need like 70 to 75 per day. And vitamin C is so good for the immune system. It's good to prevent bleeding gums. It's good to prevent spider veins. It helps form collagen. It helps keep your arteries from becoming damaged and many other things. Okay, the last benefit of lemon water is in its phytonutrients. And there's quite a few. And in these three phytonutrients, there's benefit in improving.
So close. We almost got done with it. That's all the time we got. That's Dr. Berg. Drink your lemon water. See you next time. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.